Inside the Friendly Confines with Jesse Rogers, presented by Arlington Toyota. Looking for a smart play on your next vehicle? Arlington Toyota delivers with a full lineup of dependable cars, SUVs, and trucks ready for Chicago drivers. The same trusted team you've known for years is now backed by new ownership from the Andy Moore Auto Group, bringing even more value every day. Visit ToyotaArlington.com today.
Welcome to Inside the Friendly Confines with Jesse Rogers, a Cubs-centric podcast brought to you by Good Karma Brands, ESPN 1000, and our friends at Arlington Toyota. Great to have you as I tape this show on Tuesday afternoon after a great Cubs win on Monday night. And of course, the trade deadline has come and gone as well. We'll get to that in a moment. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can see beautiful Wrigley Field, at least some of it behind me, as we are using the Hotel Zachary across the street for our studio today. What a great view from the suite here. Thanks to Zachary for letting me tape here today. It's a long day and night coming up at Wrigley as Tarek Skubal will make his Dodgers debut as the trade deadline has come and gone. And what a doozy it was, especially for the Cubs. They got busy. Number one and number two, starting pitchers. Now, I'm not saying they're top of the rotation pitchers, but they got two pitchers, and they could be near the top of the rotation by the end of the regular season. We'll find out shortly. They're good enough to end up there if they are the best versions of themselves. I'm talking, of course, of Kevin Gausman and Clay Holmes. The Cubs also got a solid reliever in Ryan Zephyrjohn and Tyrone Taylor, an extra outfielder. We'll get to all those guys during a supersized Inside the Clubhouse segment. You're going to hear a lot from Jed Hoyer, and we'll end it all with a thought from Dansby Swanson, one of the leaders on the team, as, again, the trade deadline has come and gone. We'll get to your questions here post-trade deadline as well. So plenty to do. Let's get to the opening pitch. Okay, of course, the opening pitch is what we saw take place on Monday during the day and at night. August 3rd could go down as a very significant day in Cubs history. Maybe I'm being a little dramatic about it, but first of all, the Cubs picked up two starters. Now, outside of San Diego at the last minute there, no one else picked up two starters. That's not an easy thing to do near the deadline, whether it be controllable pitchers or rentals. They got two of them, and both, as I said last segment, could start a playoff game, and one could even close one. We'll get to that next segment as well. So as frustrating as last trade deadline was, and as much criticism as the Cubs took, I gave them some, they got things done this time around. Now, of course, they didn't get Tarek Skubal, and there's no guarantee that Gausman, who has struggled lately, and Holmes, who's coming off his injury, there's no guarantee they're going to be great, but the Cubs took their shot. And after Skubal, I don't really view anyone on the market as a sure thing. Yeah, Casey Mize and Robbie Ray were good pickups by the Padres, but I think we're splitting hairs if you want to debate who's going to be better for their new teams. I mean, guys are moving teams, moving leagues, going from last place to first place, different ballparks. It's anyone's guess who performs. To me, they're all in the same category after Skubal. Maybe I'll be proven wrong because, you know, a guy like Casey Mize was having a very good season. But let's see how it plays out. The bottom line is the Cubs fixed a need. They were so battered and beat up from day one when Cade Horton went down. Jed Hoyer deepened them in an area they needed it. In fact, Craig Counsell said he might even use a six-man rotation once in a while when Edward Cabrera comes back. Think about that. Unthinkable a month ago. So they address it on deadline day, and at night, they have one of their best wins of the season. Power, pitching, after that first inning where Matthew Boyd gave up three runs, and an incredible display on defense. Really was a complete win on Monday, but a long way to go to catch the Milwaukee Brewers and certainly to catch the Los Angeles Dodgers. But a nice day on Monday. Let's see what the rest of this week brings. And we'll be talking Friday in our next episode, whether it turned out to be a good week after the deadline or maybe a not so good week. Last thought before we go inside the clubhouse, leave your comments in the YouTube, if you're watching on YouTube, and tell me if you agree with me. Pedro Ramirez is my favorite Cubs player. This guy does it all. What a job he did at third base on Monday night. Remember, he won a gold glove at that position while he was in the minors last season. He can hit. He plays all these positions. He does his job. I love Pedro Ramirez. All right, let's go inside the clubhouse. Let's go inside the clubhouse. We do this every episode that we don't have a guest on, where we bring you audio from the players, the manager, or maybe even the president of baseball operations, Jed Hoyer. We're going to do that today, the day after the trade deadline, break down some of the things he had to say. So let's start with this general philosophy on going out and ending up with two rental pitchers.
Yeah, similar to last year, the controllable starting pitching market was really tough. Obviously we talked to a lot of teams about controllable starters. And candidly, we never got very close on that. And we were committed to adding starting pitching. Like I said, it's been a unique year that way. I think that that probably added to some of that, in the sense of like the way this year has gone, and the injuries of the pitching staff, the way these guys have battled through that.
And I think we've had some really good developments in our player development system that allowed it.
Okay, and I think we just need a quick refresher for people that don't know all the baseball lingo. When we say controllable pitcher, that's a pitcher within his first 6 years of his career, where he can't go anywhere. He can only stay with the team that he's on. There's arbitration years where they discuss how much he'll be paid, but he can't leave. When we talk about a rental, it's a guy that's about to become a free agent. The final 2 months of his contract is right now, August and September. So you're getting him on a short-term thing. Usually you have to give up less for those guys. Now, look, Skubal for 2 months is going to cost more than maybe a guy that has 2 years left. But in general, it's controllable pitchers that cost more than a guy that's about to become a free agent. All right, let's stay in the what the market looked like territory. As Jed Hoyer talked about, this was a unique one.
That was one of the strangest things about the market. I don't remember looking at the standings or playoff odds as much as I have over the last week, just because teams are moving in and out of it. The American League is so jumbled. The National League, parts of the National League are jumbled together. A lot of teams around 500. So really figuring out who is going to be buyers and sellers in this market was challenging. I mean, even up to today, asking teams what direction they're going to go in. I remember that some, but not as much this year, where you just really didn't know where teams stood. And I think for a lot of teams, it was kind of their outlook going into the season was obvious, and what they did at the deadline. I think there's some teams with the same record that made the opposite decisions based on where they are in their life cycle or what their expectations were. And I don't remember having as many teams with similar records as they do right now.
Kind of wild that Jed is checking the standings to figure out which team's buying and selling, and they didn't really know until the last minute if that was the case with the Blue Jays, for example. The Kevin Gausman deal basically started over the weekend and got it done over the weekend as well, but it wasn't like a two-month pursuit of him because the Blue Jays were trying to hang in there as long as they could. All right, last one on the market. I mentioned this many times on the radio, and this is why when people ask me who they're going to get, I don't know. They had a lot of lines in the water. That was the analogy I kept saying. And the reason I don't know is you don't know where you're going to get the bite. Is it going to be in New York? Is it going to be out in San Diego? Is it going to be in Seattle? And of course, they finally got a couple bites in Toronto and with the Mets. Here's Jed on the market.
I mean, we were on everybody. I mean, it was really...
The trade deadline is such a matchmaking game. I think that it's...
Who likes your prospects? Who, how do you line up? There's teams you just don't line up with, and it's very obvious right away that, this person that you're getting connected with over and over is not going to happen, and that happens. And, it felt like with Toronto
and New York, it felt like we had matches. And I think that's how deals get done. You don't always have that, but when they, this year, it's deals lined up. There's no
other years where, be frustrating when the right things, the things you really want to do, might not come to fruition.
All right, let's jump in on one of the trade deadline acquisitions, Clay Holmes. Really interesting case. He's coming off a leg injury, just pitched his final, maybe rehab outing the other day for the Mets, and now he'll be activated soon enough for the Cubs. He is a starter, but he used to be a closer, racked up a bunch of saves in his career. Jed left the door a little bit open, though right now he's starting. Here's Jed Hoyer.
He threw 73 pitches yesterday, coming off the leg injury. So we have to decide exactly, how we want to play that. But I think we love the fit from a shape standpoint. I mean, he's a fantastic ground ball guy, doesn't give up home runs. I think putting that kind of guy in front of his defense makes a ton of sense for us. And obviously, going to be a starting pitcher, but
obviously there's his track record as a fantastic closer is certainly not something that will add a bonus potential.
So look, they might have some options there. If Daniel Palencia doesn't come back at full strength, maybe Clay Holmes ends up in the bullpen at some point, especially if the other pitchers, starting pitchers, are healthy and pitching well. All right, let's move on to Tyrone Taylor. I thought this was an interesting addition in the sense that it came from the dugout. This was a Craig Counsell request. Here's Jed Hoyer on that addition.
With Matt out, we're sort of down a right-hand hitter that could help us. And
that was something that Craig had talked to our group about. Like, if we could find a right-hand hitting outfielder, that would be something that that would benefit our bench quite a bit. So we were constantly talking, to Craig and to Flash about how do you guys see the bench, how are you guys using it, and that was really the one bench piece that they sort of asked for. They, like, the rest of the position player group feels said, and we have some depth, knock on wood, but that was the one area they kind of said would help them.
Okay, kind of interesting, and I don't believe this is true, but some people are thinking Tyrone Taylor is going to get some time in left field from the right side of the plate there because Ian Happ has struggled from that side. Yeah, once in a while he might get a start. I'm not buying into a full platoon with Ian Happ, but one thing that was interesting is they called up Kevin Alcantara on Monday. He's in a car to Wrigley Field. Gets there about an hour before the game, and they started him. And Craig Counsell mentioned after the game they wanted to give a day off to Happ, but couldn't that have waited a day, especially if Alcantara's running around like he was and getting there late? Happ came into the game later, so it's not like they sat him down the whole day. So I found that all curious. Of course, Alcantara has one of his best games, hits his first career home run. So let's keep an eye on that. Counsell specifically asked for a right-handed bat. Maybe it says something about Shaw's injury lingering on a little bit more. I don't think Ian Happ's going to lose at bats just because I know how managers are with their veterans. But look, it's a pennant race. Maybe all bets are off. It's something to keep an eye on for sure. All right, final one from Jed Hoyer. Just want to get this on the record about Tarek Skubal. He's asked about Skubal joining the Dodgers. And then I had to jump in to make sure the Cubs made an offer as well. Here's Jed.
There's been a reaction around baseball about it, but they put themselves in position to do that deal, and they did, and that's exactly what they should be doing.
Did you make an offer?
We've had a lot of conversations with him.
All right, well, he wouldn't get into specifics. Not sure what that offer, if there was even an offer involved. It did seem like the Tigers kind of zeroed in on the Dodgers pretty quickly in that negotiation. In any case, they don't have Skubal. They can go sign him as a free agent, right? Last cut, this one from inside the clubhouse after the game on Monday night. I went to Dansby Swanson. Just wanted to get his overall thoughts on the additions. And he was very careful at the beginning here about talking about the additions because remember, Clay Holmes, Zephyr John, Kevin Gosman, they're going to take jobs from guys that are currently on the roster, and that's always a sensitive thing. Here's Dansby Swanson.
I think I've started every trade deadline conversation with the same thing. It's just like, at the end of the day, very mindful of just all the people that are in here because it affects, the trade deadline really does affect so many people, right? And always saying that because we've done such a great job with the group that we have, and we've competed at such a high level against the best teams, and including ourselves, with the group that we have. Now, with that being said, obviously, they've done things to help make us better. And that's the whole point when you've put yourself in a position that we have with the group that we have to go out there and obviously compete for the ultimate prize. And they've done things to help now and later, which is really challenging to do, but they obviously have done a good job.
All right, that's it for Inside the Clubhouse. Hope you enjoyed hearing what everyone had to say about that deadline, especially, of course, Jed Hoyer. Let's get to the mailbag. All right, let's get to our mailbag as we bring in producer Jack McGrath. Jack, where can people leave their questions?
Yeah, so they can leave them in our YouTube comments, or you can just tweet me at JackMcGrath1000, and we'll ask them here on the podcast. So just tweet me or leave them in the comments.
All right, what do you got for me?
Yeah, so the first one is, why do you think Jed was more aggressive at the deadline this year rather than last season?
I think it was a perfect storm of things. More starters were available, okay, especially in the rental category. The team is better. There was a huge need. I don't know if they'd get through the next 2 months if they didn't add these pitchers, right, especially in the rotation. Maybe if everyone's healthy and Ben Brown comes back, but you can't count on a lot of that stuff happening. So I think there was a need. The team is even better than last year on paper, at least. And finally, last year at this time, there was no Alex Bregman for 5 years. Nico Horner wasn't signed up, right? Pedro Ramirez had not emerged. Matt Shaw wasn't, was still learning his craft. My point being, they have plenty of infielders. So all of a sudden, Jefferson Rojas is expendable. Moises Ballesteros is expendable. And so I think it's all those reasons combined that led him to being a little bit more aggressive.
Inside the Friendly Confines with Jesse Rogers, presented by Arlington Toyota. Looking for a smart play on your next vehicle? Arlington Toyota delivers with a full lineup of dependable cars, SUVs, and trucks ready for Chicago drivers. The same trusted team you've known for years is now backed by new ownership from the Andy Moore Auto Group, bringing even more value every day. Visit ToyotaArlington.com today.
All right, Jesse, our next question is, where do you think, this one's from Jam, when Matt Shaw comes back, how will they use him? Where will he play? Is it possible he plays outfield or plays a little bit more first base to give Bush some days off? How will they use Matt Shaw?
I mean, he could play first once in a blue moon, but no, he's going to do what he did when he was healthy. He's going to play outfield, some third base. He and Pedro Ramirez are great backups, some DH. Right, he'll have to earn his spot. Pedro's probably ahead of him right now the way he's playing. So he's just another, talented player in the mix. But I think he's got to find his way back into like playing time because he's been out for so long. But he could play outfield or infield just like he did before.
All right, Jess. Jorge Soler has been DFA'd by the Angels. This question's from Vince. Does he make sense as a fourth outfielder or DH for either Chicago team?
Man, I could see it more on the south side than the north side. What's he like as a pinch hitter and not playing every day? I don't know. Cubs position player base is set. We're just talking about at bats for Shaw and Ramirez. The one thing Soler does bring is power, but he's not playing well right now. So, maybe the White Sox could look at it, even though they have tons of power as well. I'm going to say no on that fit. It just doesn't feel right in the moment. I think the Cubs have a pretty good mix of power and speed and defense. I'm not sure Soler fits.
All right, and this last one's from Ed. In your opinion, did the Cubs accomplish all of their intentions at the trade deadline? Did they get everything done that they wanted to get done?
I'm going to say yes, but maybe not exactly the way they thought. Zephyr John looks really good. He doesn't necessarily have all the playoff experience and stuff that other relievers have. I think they wanted Luke Weaver. I think there was a Luke Weaver, Clay Holmes package that they would have been interested or were interested in, I should say. It just didn't come to fruition, and he goes to a division rival. So I think that, yeah, by numbers and positions, they got it done. But I think they probably wanted a little bit more of an upgrade there in the back end. Now, of course, if Clay Holmes goes back there, he has experience. I say it's close enough. On a podcast last night, I gave Jed an A-, and I guess it wasn't any better because of, they didn't get Scooble. Like, if that's Scooble, you got to leave room for an A-, because Scooble was out there. If they get Scooble, it's an A+. And maybe if they get some lockdown closer, I'd go from A- to A, but we're splitting hairs a little bit here. Zephyr John could be very good. He just doesn't have October experience. So I guess maybe they left that a little bare, but still pretty good deadline for sure. All right, that's going to do it for Inside the Friendly Confines. We'll drop another episode on Friday. Thanks for listening, folks. Enjoy the week of baseball.